Just keep your finger in Matthew chapter 13. Before we read those two verses, I've got a question. Is there anyone here who loves chocolate? Is there anyone here who really, really loves chocolate? Yeah. Quite a few people quite love chocolate. Anyone particularly like, what are they called? Dairy Milk Buttons. Anyone keen on Dairy Milk? Quite a few people keen on. Why don't someone over here, Jack, can you catch? Packet of dairy buttons for you. Now, I've given you free packet of chocolate Dairy Milk Buttons for you to enjoy at your leisure. Now, would you give up that packet of buttons for a small paperclip? So if I gave you the paperclip, a paperclip, would you give me the buttons back? Do you think that'd be a good deal?
No way.
What about a piece of string? Piece of string? It's conker season coming up. Good, it's a good piece of string. No. What about that packet of chocolate buttons for a piece of really lovely, smelly goat's cheese? Really good stuff.
You.
Okay. What about, would you give up that packet of chocolate buttons for a whole bar of Galaxy?
Yeah.
Why? What's changed? It is bigger, isn't it? That's right. Jack would give up a small packet of chocolate buttons for a whole bar of Galaxy, because Galaxy is better than a small packet of chocolate buttons. Well, in these two verses that we're going to look at this afternoon, Jesus tells a story, a very, very short story, about a man who gave up what he had to get something better. Have a look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 45. Blink and you'll miss it. So all eyes on verse 45 and 46. Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Lord Jesus, we thank you for that wonderful promise that those who drink of the water that you give will never thirst again, but have life that starts now and lasts forever. And we pray that as we look at this very short story that you told, you would show each one of us more of why you are so precious. We ask for your help now. Amen. The man in this very, very short story is a merchant. He's a man who buys and sells things. He's a man who spends a lot of time weighing up what things are worth. Chocolate buttons, paperclip. Chocolate buttons, piece of cheese. And he's the kind of man who wears an expensive black coat with a smart velvet collar and a rather dapper black hat. And he lived in a huge house with landscape gardens. Here's a huge landscape gardens and a swimming pool and a tennis court that you can't quite see. It's just round the back there. And in his cellar, he has, very lucky man, he has a cricket net with a bowling machine. Imagine that. And he sliced his chocolate fudge cake, which he ate every day, with a silver cake slice. Very wealthy man. He had three sports cars. Those are just the keys of one of them. He had four flat-screen televisions. Those are the remote controls of just one of them. He had five fridges filled with food and fizzy drinks, and especially ginger beer. And in his bank account, he had lots and lots of money. And he thinks to himself, yes, I've done very well for myself. I've bought and I have sold, and now I have everything a man could possibly want in life. Until one day, he sees something in a shop window that catches his eye. Something more beautiful than he has ever seen before. It's a huge white pearl glistening in the sun. And so he walks into the shop. "Good day," he says. "Good day," the man in the shop says. "How much is that pearl in the window?" asks the merchant. "That pearl is 10 million pounds, says the man in the shop. 10 million pounds, says the merchant. That was more money than the merchant had in his bank accounts. But he wanted the pearl more than anything else in the whole world. It was so beautiful. So do you know what he did? He sold his silver cake slice. But that didn't raise enough money for him to buy the pearl. So he sold his 3 sports cars. But that still wasn't enough. So he sold his 4 flat-screen televisions. But that wasn't enough. He sold his 5 fridges filled with ginger beer. That still wasn't enough. He even sold his bowling machine. So there was only one thing for it. He had to sell the house with the pool. No more swimming. No more tennis. But that still didn't raise enough money for the pearl. So he had to sell the coat on his back. But not the hat. The hat was his favorite. So eventually he gathered all his money together, and he wheeled his money round to the pearl shop to buy the pearl. He was so excited. It was a beautiful pearl. It was more beautiful than anything else he'd ever seen. "And good day," he says. "Good day," says the man in the pearl shop. "I brought the money," says the merchant. And the man in the shop counts it all up. "There's 1, 2, there's 4, there's 5, 500, 1,000, there's 1 million, there's 2 million, there's 7, 8 million, 7, 8, 7, 8, 8 million, 9 million, 9 million. Oh dear, he's £5 short. What's he going to do? The shopkeeper says, "Well, you could sell me your hat." "Sell you my hat? My favourite hat?" says the merchant. "All right, I'll sell you my hat for £5. And he handed over his hat, and he took hold of the pearl, and he ran out into the street, and he danced for joy. And his friends thought he was mad. They were saying, "He's blown everything. He's blown everything just for one pearl." And he was saying, "Yeah, but you should see this pearl. It is the most beautiful pearl in all the world." It's a strange story, isn't it, that Jesus tells? Strange story. What sort of a pearl is worth selling everything else to get? What sort of a pearl is better than everything? Worth giving up everything else for? Well, what Jesus is saying is that he is like the pearl. And we may think we have everything we could possibly want. We have plenty of chocolate fudge cake, and we have ginger beer, and we have a, what is it called? I've forgotten again, a Wii. Is that right? It doesn't sound right. And we have surround sound TV, and we have shoes for every occasion, and foreign holidays in the sun, and we have a successful career and a prosperous family and a good pension plan. But Jesus says, when you see him, when you really see him, then you realize there's nothing in the world more precious than Jesus. Nothing that matters more than having him and knowing him. Better than anything else in the world. He's better than a sports car because he won't go rusty. He's better than chocolate fudge cake because he won't go moldy. He's better than money because he can't get stolen. He's better than a new dress because moths can't eat holes into him. He's better than a holiday because he'll never end. He's better than a good job because you can't get fired from him. He's better than a clean bill of health, because our relationship with him will never be ruined by sickness. He's better than life itself, because Jesus will never die. And knowing him will last forever and ever. He's the best treasure we could ever have. I think I've told some of you before the story of the time when my mother and my stepfather and my wife Claire and I set off for Germany from England to celebrate my German grandmother's 80th birthday. It was going to be a very, very big family do. A hotel had been hired and there was going to be a meal and we all had rooms to stay in. The boat had been pushed out a very long way. And my mother, who doesn't do things by halves, hired a people carrier for the journey with air conditioning. And she made enough food for the journey so that in the event of world war, we could just park the people carrier and see it through on a diet of bacon and egg rolls and salmon rolls and chicken wings and pasta salads and potato salads and fizzy drink and fruit juices and mousses and yogurts. And each one of us had our own personal dustbin bag for rubbish. We each had a little packet of handy wipes for sticky fingers. And she also brought along with her two CD players with earphones so we could listen to the music of our choice. At customs at Dover, there was a bloke behind us leaning up against his car. Normal sort of car, I think it was blue, and he was dunking a Mars bar into a polystyrene cup of coffee he'd bought at the cafe. Which car had what it needed for the journey? Which car was better equipped? It had to be us, surely. Then it came to finding the passports. And Mum scrabbled around in the glove compartment a little bit more frantically than you'd expect. Started pulling everything out, shaking all the coats, unpacking the rolls, you know. Couldn't find the passports. Now, which car was better equipped for the journey? Which car had what it really needed? Couldn't pay off customs with a pork pie. Well, after tears and sharp words and unpacking the entire car, the passports were found in a side pocket. But it was a sharp reminder of what you really need, what is really worth having. In the face of passport control, all the potato salad in the world is irrelevant. Only one thing matters. Do you have your passport? And Jesus is saying, in the face of eternity, all the riches in the world are irrelevant. There's only one treasure that matters. Do you have Jesus? There was a famous preacher called John Wesley who said that Christians are people of one thing. Like the merchant in this story, we give up everything else. We sell it all for one treasure, Jesus Christ. And it's very easy to think that we can sort of add Jesus to our collection of things. We've got the house and the car and the career and the holidays. And we've even got Jesus as well. And in this story, Jesus is saying, look, if that's how we think about him, he's just one in the collection of treasures we've got. We've not really seen how beautiful he is. The person who really sees how beautiful this pearl of great price is prepared to give up everything else in order to have Jesus and know him better. And what Jesus is saying is that living for him may be very costly. The merchant, he had to give up all he had. And for us, having Jesus may mean giving up the things that are very precious to us. Let me think of this. I've got here a jug and a 5p piece. Which is the more valuable? I take it it's the jug. It's an obvious question. 5p piece or a jug? If I put the 5p piece in the jug and I hold on to it, I can't actually get my hand out because I'm holding on to the 5p piece. If I want to stay holding onto the 5p piece, there's only one option. Well, I could walk around like this, you know, I could sort of try and live my life with my hand in a jug. It would be a bit awkward. So my only option really, if I want to stay holding onto the 5p piece, my only option is to get the hammer out and smash the jug, because I'm holding onto the 5p piece. Which means I would have the 5p piece, yay, but I'd kind of lose the jug. The only way to keep the jug safe in this situation is for me to let go of the 5 PPs. Can you hear me letting go? And that means I can get my hand out safely. And Jesus is saying, if you want to enjoy the real treasure, if you want to enjoy Jesus, there'll be other things we've got to let go of that are actually just worth no more than 5p. You may have to be ready to let go of caring about what other people think about you. If we follow Jesus, our friends may laugh at us. It may be we have to get ready to let go of the mean ways of treating people that we quite enjoy. We rather like bossing people around. Jesus says, if we're following him, let go of that. Give it up. Maybe we have to be ready to give up promotion. Because if we took the job, there wouldn't be time for the family or for friends or helping in junior church. It could be that you wanted to be a great violinist, but you had to give that ambition up because Jesus had other plans for your life. You had to let go. It could be that following Jesus means you go overseas to serve him in a place that's very lonely. Means you might have to give up the prospect of ever getting married. You might have to let go. The merchant sold everything he had to get the treasure that really matters. He gave up everything else to get the one thing that matters more than anything else. But often we ask, is it worth it? Really? Is Jesus really worth giving up everything else for? We look at the people around us who don't have Jesus and we envy them. We think, I wish we had what they had. We feel that following Jesus means we're missing out sometimes. One day, each of us will stand before Jesus the King. And on that day, only one thing will matter. Did we hold on to the trinkets, the 5 P's, the bits of old string and cheese of this world? Or did we hold on to Jesus, the pearl of great value? And for the people who have not really held on to Jesus, the fact that they wore Italian shoes and had foreign holidays would be no comfort on that day. They thought they had everything. Turns out they didn't have anything worth having, had nothing. The story is told of a very rich lady who died. And after her funeral, someone asked the vicar, said, how much did she leave? And the vicar replied, all of it. See, all the riches of this world we might have, but we can't take any of it with us when we die. Many of us know and love Doreen Bustle very, very much. And she's very ill and had the privilege of visiting her yesterday in hospital. And I don't know anything about Doreen's finances. I don't think she's very wealthy. She's not got a big house or anything like that. She's not spent her life saving up money. She has spent her life serving Jesus. And people might look at Doreen and think she hasn't got much to show for it. But you know, Doreen is rich. She is very, very rich. And the riches she has, she won't have to leave behind. She has a pearl of great price. The treasure she has is a treasure she will take with her into Jesus' eternal kingdom. She is a rich lady because she's held on to Christ. The merchant, he didn't think he was missing out. He was so happy to have this pearl. And Jesus says to us today, if you think you're missing out, don't think like that. You've got the one treasure worth having. And friends, if you don't believe me, ask me again in 100 years' time. If you still don't believe me, ask me again in 1,000 years' time. And if you still don't believe me, ask me again in 1,000,000 years' time. And we'll talk about whether Jesus was the one treasure worth giving up everything else for, the pearl of great price. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, are reminded again that you are precious, more precious than anything else. And we ask that you would show each one of us what it means to let go of other things and to hold on to you. Amen. At Emmanuel, we want to be the sort of church where everybody knows we're allowed to ask questions. We've all got questions we're wrestling with about the Christian life. So what we're going to do is just have two or three minutes to reflect on what we've been hearing. And then there's a couple of questions that will come up on the screen just to help us reflect either privately, alone, or if the person next to you looks friendly, talk these things through with them. But don't bounce them into it if they don't want to or don't look friendly. And then after two or three minutes, a chance for anyone to ask any questions they might have that arose from what we've been thinking about. So just two or three minutes to ponder, then question time. Do continue those conversations over tea and at home. But has anyone got a question they'd like to ask or just think a comment they'd like to make? Who's got a question they'd like to ask? There's no such thing as a stupid question, because you're probably asking exactly the question everyone else is thinking. Nick, do you want to ask a question? Do you want to shout it out loud, or shall I come running with the microphone? You can shout out loud. Did everyone hear the questions? How do you work out what your treasure is? Because it's not a simple, no one's walking around thinking, you know, one thing. There's usually a range of things. One thing to do would be to ask other people, what's your passion? What is it that when your mind is in neutral, when you're just sort of bumbling along, what do you keep thinking about? That might be one way to think about it. And what are the things that you're prepared to go without, and what are the things that shape the decisions you make? See, that is non-negotiable. So I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to make any decision that's going to jeopardize my reputation. I'm never going to do anything that's going to make me look stupid. Well, probably. That might be a treasure you've got. But it's probably more than one thing. But Jesus is saying when it comes to it, when it's him or something else, it's him every time. Who's got another question or a reflection? Let's pause there then. And we're going to sing again.